I get the privilege to give the word of God, so let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, today that you're already here. You've been here all weekend doing your work, your will, your way. I pray, Father God, that tonight that you minister to people that you have in mind, online, on campus, all over this community. Father, you have a word to give them. I step out of the way, and Holy Spirit, you are willing and active and ready to do whatever the word proclaims. And Father, we're believing and receiving with great faith that people will be charged, encouraged. People will be ignited and ministered to and uplifted, and their burdens would be made light tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you're doing a great work. You're doing a holy work. And Father, we just thank you for the presence of Christ that's in our midst as we crack open the book. And Father, we explain a few things. But Father, it's not with human eyes and ears that we comprehend. It's with the eyes and the ears of the Holy Spirit. So open up the eyes and the ears of people tonight that they can see it, believe it, and receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Tonight I'm going to be talking about calming the storms of life. How many have been through a few storms? I personally have. Within a span of 6 years, I've lost 5 family members. We had COVID. I had a death notice, a medical death notice on me. And I've overcome because I've depended on what I'm going to share tonight. The calming of the storms of life. If you have never experienced a physical storm, maybe you haven't. There was one just recently. Helene hit the coast of East Coast in Florida, and Helene disrupted everything. Actually, it was a Category Storm 4, and it slammed into the Big Bend region at 40 miles an hour, and it hit heavy rains, and it went up to 140 miles an hour, and it killed 251 people. When the storms hit of life, like Helene, they thrash everything. They get rid of everything. It wiped out everything. As a matter of fact, someone posted a video is that they were walking through all the chaos, and I don't know if you could put that video up of the Bible that was stuck on a post, and this Bible was stuck throughout the storm. It opened up to the book of Revelation, chapter 14 and 15, of the coming storm that's happening in the book of Revelation to prepare the people. And that Bible was sitting open to declare, hey, the storm is coming. That's the prophetic word. That's what we're going to attempt to do tonight as we discover how these storms affect us. And almost certainly you're going to pass through the fire of a storm. It's coming your way. Some are saying that there's a financial crisis coming. Some, due to what's happening in the political realm, the United States is in for another storm. I'm not hearing the voices of the world. I'm not hearing the voices of man. I'm not even hearing what the weather is saying. I'm tuned into what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And what he wants to share with you tonight is exactly that. You will be affected, and it's found in Mark's gospel. So if you have the your Bible, open up to the book of Mark, chapter 4. I'm reading from the NCV translation, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and 41, where Jesus calms the storm. This is a classic scripture that we've preached on and a lot of people have taught. But when I looked at it, I kind of like opened up my heart to some new things that I was discovering that I want to share with you tonight. In verse 35, it says this in Mark's gospel, chapter 4. That evening, Jesus said to his followers, "Let's go across the lake." And leaving the crowd behind, they took with him a boat as he was. And there was also another boat with them. And very strong, everybody say with me, very strong winds came upon the lake. And the waves came over the side of the boat that it was already being filled up with water. So notice, here's the waves, here's the storm, it's coming in, there is already water in the boat, and it's filling up the boat. And notice the position of Jesus, 38. Jesus was in back of the boat, or the cabin of the boat, sleeping with his head on a cushion. He was taking a nap while the storm was happening. And his followers woke up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning?" Jesus stood up and commanded the winds and the waves, and he said, "Quiet, be still." And there's the word, quiet and be still. And the wind stopped and it became completely calm. And Jesus said to his followers, here's the question, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Verse 41, and the followers were very afraid of each other and asked each other, "Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" So here's a question that I'm posing to you tonight. Here's the question. Whether you're in a physical storm, a spiritual storm, a medical storm, or a financial storm, how will you react when it hits? What are you going to do when the storm comes upon you? How will you react? Will you react in faith or will you act in fear? Jesus handled this and he reacted is the teaching tonight of how we could weather the storms of life, because they're coming. Sometimes they come upon you in the form of grief. Sometimes it's a storm of loss, or sometimes it's a storm of chaos, or sometimes you find yourself like Pastor Mike did, actually on the freeway, and a piece of wood hit him right on the freeway and could have cracked his windshield and killed him, but the angels of the Lord were protecting him. Amen, right? Amen. That's what the Lord does. When chaos hits us, when things happen, and they will, how will we react? Regardless what you're facing right now, it's a matter of you choosing faith over your fear, and when the storms hit, that you will trust God and not the storm or what you see or what you feel. I'm reading report after report from young people having all these anxiety issues, trauma, pain, because they're just incensed mentally. They can't handle the scrutinies of life, and they're collapsing. Our young people are collapsing with anxiety and failing, and suicide, teenage suicide is an all-time high because they're not weathering the storm well. They're not weathering what they're hearing. They're on social media. They're following things and they're hearing things that they should not be paying attention to. They're getting drunk on the noise of the world and the collapsing of everything, or this pretend world that says that it's going to be wonderful and nice. And I'm here to tell you, nothing in life is for sure but God and Jesus Christ. And that dependability on him is what we need. And that's why the scriptures I was discovering, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith Noah warned the things that he was not seen. Out of holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. Faith was activated in Noah. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, let your faith be bigger than your fears. Don't look at what's happening around you. Look at what's happening inside of you with the Spirit of God saying, it's going to be okay. I got this. I can calm your storm. I will be with you. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. You have not received the spirit that makes you a slave to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. Where we're adopted into God's family, where the Holy Father takes care of his children and withholds nothing from them and protects them and guards them, even in unhealthy, unsafe places. That's God. That's our Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Some translations say timidity, but he's given us the spirit of power, love, and one translation says a well-balanced mindset. when everything is flipping out, you could calm down because Jesus, if Jesus is in your boat, if he's asleep, and because nothing moved Jesus, nothing's a threat to Jesus. As a matter of fact, when they prompted him to wake up, he said, shut up and be still, and everything turned around. With one word, he's able to calm the fears and the storms of our life. Psalms 23:4 says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death or darkness, I will fear no evil because you and your rod is with me that will comfort me. In the name of any calamity, God promises us that he will be with us in the eye of that storm. He promises us that he will take care of us and you will not fail. That's the promise of God. Isaiah chapter 43 says, do not fear. I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by my name. You are mine. That means he intimately his. You're intimately his. That God will take care of his people. So that's why I have this first point, that we need to rest on him or rest in peace. Point number one, rest in peace like Jesus did. He was not afraid. When that evening came, the Bible says, it says, Mark, back to Mark chapter 4, a very strong wind hit in the lake, and the waves came over the side of the boat, and Jesus was in the back of a boat sleeping on a cushion. Notice, Jesus was sleeping while the boat was being filled up. Notice that he was not concerned of imminent death, but he was at peace and asleep in the chaos of the violent storm. When the storms of life are threatening you, and they will, when the storms of life are coming and capsizing your boat, you could understand that God can give you a place to rest your weary head on God's pillow of his promise. God will do it, but you have to trust him. You have to get over to him. You know, there was a story I read on a picture of peace. There once was a king who offered a big, big price of any artist in the land that would come and paint him a picture of peace. So all these artisans came and they tried to paint this beautiful picture because there was a big prize at the end. If you could show me a picture of peace, this king said, I'm going to give you a big prize. So they all came together in the courtyard of the king, and between all of them, they were showing him the pictures. One picture caught his eye. It says of a calm lake. It was a lake that was picture perfect, like a lake that was like a lake of glass. Very peaceful, towering mountains all around it. Over the head was blue skies, puffy white clouds. All who saw the picture got a picture of peace. And there was another picture that the king had his eye on. It was rugged terrain and it was bare. It was an angry sky, and from which the sky fell rain and lightning played and thunder. And throughout the sides of the mountain, a tumbling, foaming of waterfalls throughout the picture. This did not even look like peaceful at all. It looked like a bunch of chaos. But when the king looked closely, he looked behind the waterfall of this picture, and he found a little bush, and in the crack of this between waterfall was a picture of a little bird with a nest covering her chicks. It was a picture of peace. That picture won the prize. And when they asked the king, what did you see? There was one that was very peaceful and calm and one that looked chaotic. Why did you land on that one, king? And this is what the king said. Peace does not mean that there's not a place where there is no noise, no trouble, or chaos. Peace means that in the midst of all things, be still and calm in your heart, because the real meaning of peace is that you're relaxed in the midst of chaos. And that picture won a prize. When we rest in the promise of God, that means that we put our faith in God's word, and we anticipate his blessing that leads for more peaceful moments. You can't have a death diagnosis. You can't experience a death in the family or death from a friend without having your spirit have a shock in it. You know, grief is a real thing. Trauma is a real thing. We might have the Word of God and we might be in full faith, but it shocks your spirit where you can lose your composure. You could lose your peace of mind. You could hear all these things in the midst of that chaos. But rest assured, like Jesus that was in the boat with a storm raging, he was at peace, and you can be too if you rest in his peace. If you rest in his peace. That's why Ephesians chapter 3 says this, verse 17 through 20. By constant using of your faith, the life of Christ will be released in deep inside of you. Look at that. In the resting place of his love, that you become a very source of the root of life. What an amazing scripture. That in Christ you could find solace. You know, when my brother died, I was tasked to go to the home where he was staying. He was staying with my mom. And I remember family members there that were all chaotic. They were calling people. They were just like, I sat in the front of the yard of my parents, and I made this prayer, Lord, please, I don't know what I'm going to encounter. But I see all this noise around me, and I see all these people running around. I want to carry your spirit of peace as I walk into that room. And when I walked into that room, my mom and dad were sobbing. My cousins were there. My sister had not yet got there. And there was a rush of peace that came over me. There was a police officer that was parked right in the front yard. And he said, well, you know, Rose Hills was just already called, so you don't have to worry about calling anybody to pick up the body. I called my friend Billy, who owns a funeral home right down the street from here, and I said, Billy, you know, help me out. You know, my brother just passed. Oh, I'm so sorry, Pastor. I'm so sorry. He comforted me with his words. Now, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know who to call. And he says, look, Pastor, I got this. Jesus is with you. I'm with you. Do me a favor. I know what the police officer told you. Call Rose Hills back and tell them to cancel, and it will save you $10,000. And I said, I already feel at peace. So I called Billy, and he came. And I remember looking at my mom and looking at my dad, and I just hugged them, and a rush of peace came over us to make sense of what we couldn't make sense of. When you need that peace is available for every one of you. That's the peace of faith. That's the declaration. We're not just preaching something we didn't live. We're not saying something that you can't do. The Bible explicitly says when the winds and the waves were hitting, people were running in fear. They were saying, Jesus, wow, look, don't you consider us? And Jesus said, hey, I got this, and he calmed the storm. Will you let him calm your storm? Will you let him calm the things that are agitating you, that are stretching you out, giving you anxiety? Will you let him give you that faith to be able to say, I don't understand this, but you do, and I have the peace of God resting and on me and in me, and I can get through this in the name of the Lord? That's what God is saying to you today. That's why the book of 2 Corinthians says this, even though we're weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort of salvation, Paul's telling. For we ourselves are comforted. The certain comfort for you, that when you patiently endure the same thing that we have suffered, Paul understood chaos. Paul understood pain, and he understood this peace that surpasses all understanding. He depended on God for everything he was doing as he was promoting the gospel, and he was encountering these storms of life. Someone said this, storms can make trees grow deep roots. Powerful quote. Maybe this is what the Lord needs to do in your life. Maybe that's what these storms are producing. Deep roots, deep solid roots where you're depending on Him, and these roots grow deep. So when the winds and the waves and life hits you, and chaos and death and misery and all these things that people tell you, maybe that you don't even want to hear, that God is stabilizing you and planting you and rooting you to be a healthy individual with deep roots. Matthew said, come all to me who are heavy laden, chapter 11, verse 28. And I will give you rest. That's a promise from God. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn from me. I'm gentle, lowly at heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So how can we be calm through the storms of life? And how can Jesus calm our storms? By resisting judgment. Wow, what do you mean, Pastor? Resisting judgment. Look at this. When the strong winds came on the lake, back to Mark chapter 34, verse 37, and the waves came in, and the boat was filling with water. Verse 38 says this. Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping on a cushion, and his followers woke him up and said, teacher, don't you care that we are drowning? Are you not concerned? In other words, this is what they were saying. Are you not the God that you say you are? Are you really not going to take care of the situation that we're in? Are you not concerned with my well-being? My feelings, my emotions? Are you not? Why are you asleep? Why that this did not bother you? We're going to die. And don't you care? And people make those judgments all the time. You notice when there's an earthquake, or when some natural calamity happens, the first thing someone gets in the news and say, I don't know why God would allow this to happen. First natural reaction of man is to blame God, because that's what the devil likes to do. And when you're using the devil's language, like blaming and judging God, that's where the enemy would like to put you in judgment of a God that can take care of you, because he's always trying to debate that God won't. And he has nothing to prove, actually. He's a liar. And he's a father of lies. And when you believe that God will not take care of you, then that will shift you from faith into fear overnight, automatically. Instead of trusting, you will start judging. You will judge Jesus' lack of empathy or interest of what's happening around you. That can lead to your destruction. Jesus was not dismissive. He was not unaware. He was not detached from the scenario. He was just in control. He was in control of the situation without being in control of the situation. That's how awesome Jesus is. He was asleep and in control, and he was on his pillow taking care of business while he was not even awake. But when the judgment comes and the critics come, they jump to conclusions. False judgment leads to nothing good. We need to be careful of this, where we question, where is God at? How come this happened to me? Oh my God, why am I in this painful process? Where is God in this situation when this is happening to my marriage, or my finances are a mess, or I don't have enough to make my payments? Where is God? You're not with me. You're not concerned for me. You're too busy, there it is, the judgment, asleep at the wheel. When we judge to these conclusions, We have these many questions about God. And I'm here to tell you that when crisis hits, you do not need to jump to conclusions or judgments. You do not need to jump from faith to fear. You need to stay calm in the eye of this storm, because this too shall pass. It will pass, and you need to hold on and trust God, even though it doesn't make sense to you. Even though you don't have all the answers, and it's okay. Even though you don't know what the outcome is, God does. God is not asleep at the wheel. He's on time and on purpose taking care of you, but you got to check your heart that you don't judge him wrongly and you don't jump to judgments. As a matter of fact, that's what Israel did. Romans chapter 2, verse 24, Pastor Dan was teaching this. He said, Israel jumped to judgment, and look what God gave them. In the name of God, God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Judgment jumped on Israel, and God opened the door to the Gentiles because the judgment didn't want God to do what God wanted to do. So he did his plan and left them on their own. You don't want to be in that situation when calamity is hitting, when crisis is hitting. You don't want to be alone. You want God to be in your midst, even though it doesn't make sense. You need to not say, God, why? You need to say, God, you are in my midst, even though I don't understand it. Even though I have pain inside of my body, even though I have pain inside of my mind, you are with me, and I'm going to trust you through this storm, and you will calm it eventually. I will get to the other side. I will be okay, because the peace of God is on me. Faith is in me, and I'm declaring over you tonight, faith, faith that says God can conquer anything that life is giving you. Life is handing you any kind of solution. God has the answer. Always keep in mind that God will work it out. Romans 8, 28, for all, he causes all things to work together for the good for those that love God according to his purpose. That's why Psalms 19:49 says this: remember your word, your servant. I don't have it all there, but I'm going to read the context of it. It says, remember the word from your servant who've given you hope. You are my comfort in my suffering. This is the promise deserves my life, and the arrogant mock me unmercifully. And that's what the devil likes to do. He likes to get us to mock God and blame him. And that's what David said. The arrogant mock me, because they mock you. But they do not turn to the law. But I do not turn from the law. I will be fixed on the law. I will hasten to not delay and to obey the commands. I've sought your face with all my what heart. That's what the Bible says. With all my heart, be gracious to me according to your promise. I've considered the ways and turned my steps into statutes. I will hasten not to delay to obey your command. David's heart was in this calamity of blame, in the calamity of chaos, in the calamity of anger and the enemies surrounding him and things falling apart. I will not delay to trust you and your promises. He relied on the Lord. You need to rely on Jesus. He can calm your storm. How does Jesus calm your storm? By number three, to relying on him. Relying means dependency. Relying means when things can't and won't work, you need to shift your spirit to depend on him. You need to do what your emotions and your anxiety is saying not to do. You have to do the exact opposite of what the enemy's trying to attempt to get you to do. He's lying to you, so you got to shift. The enemy wants you out. He wants you to not have life and blessing. You got to shift to life and blessing. You got to shift your emotion. You got to fix your mindset. Lord, I don't feel like, but you know, I believe your word, and I'm gonna trump my emotion and depend on you, because you'll settle my anxiety down. You'll give me the peace that surpasses all understanding. You'll shift me I've been practicing this and some in my early walks when I pray. It's called short breath prayers. I don't know if you heard that. Short breath prayers are like this. You take a scripture and you breathe in and breathe out the scripture in a short breath. It was a practice of the early church fathers and some learned individuals that were disciplining themselves to pay attention to the Lord. So a short breath prayer, I'm going to teach you some things. A short breath prayer would be on the back of Mark chapter 4. Here's a short breath prayer that you could pray like literally right now or when you go home or at night. Here's a short breath prayer. Jesus, breathe in. And then breathe out by saying, calm my storm. That's a short breath prayer. Jesus, breathe in. You breathe out, calm my storm. That's a short breath prayer on the context of Mark chapter 4. Jesus, calm my storm. And you do that over and over again till your anxiety lifts. You do that over and over again till God invades your heart and says, it's going to be okay, son. It's going to be okay, daughter. Short breath prayers. You could take any scripture and you could take the premise of the scripture, breathe it in or breathe it out, and then breathe it out. Breathe it in, breathe it out. Jesus, calm my storm. This is for some of you tonight that are living in anxiety. This is for some of you that are online that are saying, God, I don't know what's happening to my mind, Pastor. I don't know what's happening to my mind. It's going crazy. Short breath prayer. Jesus, calm my storm. Jesus, calm my storm. You know, what I'm doing medically is actually healthy. Breathing in and breathing out. I'm just weaving scripture into it. The mentality of the Holy Spirit invading your mind, your heart, your will, and emotion to relax you and saying, son, daughter, I got this. You're going to be okay because I'm okay. I'm not upset. I'm not going crazy. You don't have to either. You have to trust me through this. But you don't know, Jesus. You don't know. Yes, I do. I know all things. As a matter of fact, I created you. And I have the best thing for you. You just don't understand it. I have promises that you are not fulfilled yet through you. I have blessings waiting for you, my son, my daughter. You have to trust me in this chaos. You have to trust me in through this anxiety. You have to trust me through this loss. I have something better for you. That's what God speaks. That's how he speaks. We wake up every morning, we encourage ourselves. In Acts chapter 27, I was reading this. And Paul was in a situation where he was caught up in a storm. Acts 27, 22. He told the people in the storm that were flipping out, hey, take courage. None of you will lose your life. Even though the ship will go down, he said, even though it's going to be destroyed, you're not going to lose your life. For last night, the angel of God came, whom I belong and serve him, stood by my side, and he said, Paul, don't be afraid. I surely will you will stand in trial before Caesar. What more? God and his goodness will grant you safety for everyone that is with you. So here it is. Take courage, for I believe in God, and it will be just as he said. We need to be reminded that God is in control. The Apostle Paul shifted his faith open. He heard from the Lord. He heard from the angel that told him, Paul, it's going to be okay. I need to get you to a certain place, and you're destined to be there. Even though you see this, even though you're going to experience something, I'm with you, and you're going to stand over there. You watch. I will take care of you. And you tell all those people that are freaking out, relax. Chill out. God has this. You're not going to lose your life. Some of you are in so much fear that, oh, my God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Relax. Chill out. God has you. He has you by the hand. Ain't no demon in hell can take you out. No weapon formed against you will prosper, or your children. You have faith. If you have the faith to believe it and receive it, you can declare it. You have life and not death. You have promises that will be fulfilled. Generational blessing that you have. Your grandkids that you haven't even birthed yet are going to be blessed. That's the faith that's in this house tonight. That's the faith. Your children's children will be blessed. How does God calm this room? He reminds us that he got everything under control. He reminds us, like when Elijah was freaking out in Romans chapter 11, verse 2 through 4. He says this in verse 2 of 11. God has not rejected his own people, nor he has chosen them from the beginning. Do you not realize what the scripture says? Elijah the prophet complained about the people of Israel and said, Lord, they have killed their prophets and tore down the altars, and I am the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too. That's a prophet. That's a man of God. That's a man supposedly full of faith and power. And look what God says. Do you not remember God's reply? He says, no, I have 7,000 others who've never bowed down to Baal. God always has a back-end plan. God always has the secrets that aren't discovered. If you don't know how, God knows how, and he knows how to open up that door. He knows how to open up the winds. He knows how to calm the storm. He could do supernatural things that you can't do on your own. Nothing's going to fix my marriage. You watch. Let God do it. Watch God heal you. Watch God heal and restore you. Nothing's going to fix my family. Oh, I can't wait. One guy told me, oh, I hate Thanksgiving. Why? Why do you hate Thanksgiving? Because all my jacked up family comes over and eats what I don't want them to. I told him, and I challenged this guy, then you get healed so you can heal your family. He shared with me 2 years after that how he had a family dinner and he apologized to all of them. And revival broke out in his living room. People started getting saved, healed, because his judgments towards them and God ceased, and they have actually had a great family feast since then. Who calmed that storm? Jesus Christ. Who wants to calm your storm? Jesus Christ. How do we do this? By resting on his peace, by resisting the judgments towards God, and by relying on Jesus fully, even though you don't know how. You know, the Lord wanted me to do this and save some space to do it. He said, there's people in this house, there's people online that are in the midst of this big storm and they don't know what to do. This is how the Lord told me to do it. He says, open up the altars and let them release their burden to me, and tonight I will calm their storm. So if you're in the midst of crisis, you're in the midst of a storm, you're in the midst of a problem you don't know how to get out of, these altars are open for you. You need to come and lay your burden down, because Jesus wants to arrest your storm and give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. The altar is open. Now, come. Don't be shy. Lay your burden down. Some of you are full of anxiety, hurt. Some of you are downright depressed and you don't know what to do, frustrated. Lay the burden down. The altar's open. Some of you don't know how to do it. You need the God's plan. You need God's grace. You need to come and receive it. The altar is open. Come on, all over this place, there are people here that need you. Thank you, Father.
Peace, be still. Say the word and I will set my feet upon the sea. Till I'm dancing in the deep. Peace be still. You are here, so it is well. Even when my eyes can't see, I will trust the voice that speaks.
I don't know how you're going to heal it, but you are. I don't know what I'm going to do next, but you know how. I don't know what's going to meet me on the other side, but you do. I don't know what the future holds, but you have the future in my hand, in your hand. Release it. Release it. Give it to him. Trust you, Jesus. I just feel led, if you're a pastor, leader in this place, just go around and lay hands on these individuals. Just touch them, pray for them. Let God use your faith to declare life on them. Don't spend too much time on any individual. Just briefly touch them, declare God's goodness on them. You're a leader, pastor here in this house. Come and just put your hand on them. Pray the peace of God that surpasses all understanding on them. Let faith arise. Let there be deliverance and supernatural door openings and healing and restoration. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Chappie, you and Deborah, come. Lay hands on people. Just touch them. Pray for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Rest. rest your goodness on these people. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Supernatural peace, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Okay, everyone up here, look at me. Pay attention. Look, look, look. Remember what I said, short breath prayer. Here, follow me. Follow my lead. Short breath prayer. Jesus, calm my storm. Jesus, calm my storm. Jesus, calm my storm. You believe that tonight? You believe that tonight? Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. Come on. God's in control. God's in control. I believe every one of you that came up, those who were in your seats, those who were you online, God supernaturally did a work. And what I want to hear from you is if God opened up a door and did an amazing testimony, write us, call us, let us know what God did so we could celebrate who God is. Amen. Amen. You can go back to your seats and we'll finish up. God bless you. Did you get anything out of it tonight? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Awesome, awesome. Yes, Lord. So much healing tonight. So much healing. It's great, great, great. But I couldn't end any service without doing this next step. If you're here tonight and you don't really know who peace is, then that peace that surpasses all understanding is Jesus. If you're in this house tonight and you had an accident or an incident or something that happened to you or a sickness and you died, where would you be? It's a question that we have to ask. Every time we get up on this pulpit, we ask the same question. Where would you be? Would you be in heaven or would you be in hell? You can't assume that you're right with God. No one can assume that you're right with God. You might say, Pastor, I've been brought up in a religious home. I have religious jewelry. I'm a nice guy. All those things are great, but they don't really matter to salvation. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible teach that good works or wearing religious jewelry or having a Jesus tattoo or being brought up in the faith has any significance of salvation. Nowhere. You might say, you know, I don't really know. I mean, I hope. Nowhere in the Bible it says you can hope your way to salvation. Nowhere. You could read through the whole Bible. Nowhere you can hope your way to salvation. If I have enough hope and enough positive energy, and if I believe the positive energy, I believe I'm going to go. Hollywood does that. Hollywood has a gospel where, hey, they're a nice guy, or they're good people. They're in eternity. Nowhere, sorry to say, nowhere in the Bible does that teach that. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that, you know, just doing good works. You know, Pastor, I give to the poor. I mean, I feed needy children. I'm online, you know, digging wells of African kids, and I'm giving them money, and I'm donating. Every Christmas, I donate. Great, I'm so happy you donate, but nowhere in the Bible says your donation leads to an obedience to salvation. That's good works. I'm glad you do them. But nowhere the Bible says, as a matter of fact, the other way around, your good works, it says in Isaiah, are like filthy rags. They don't amount to faith. The only thing that matters is that you trust in God, where you give him all your life and all your heart. And I don't know you tonight, and I don't know who you are online. But the Spirit of God, like he drew people to the front and was giving them peace, is drawing you to salvation. Maybe you made this statement, like I preached tonight, that you've judged God. You have an offense towards him. You weren't. He wasn't there when your dad died, or he wasn't there when your child died, and you have an offense towards God. I'm here to say, let that offense go. I'm here to clear the air and say, you know, it doesn't really matter. Maybe that doesn't make sense to you. Probably doesn't make sense to me either, but God understands. But don't hold judgment towards God, because that will lead you to destruction. Matter of fact, you have to turn it the other way. I don't know, but you do, so I give it to you. So throughout this auditorium, online, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You know, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, who was religious, who was nice, who was kind, who sang the scriptures, who was an amazing man of God, was disrupted by Jesus when he said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Nicodemus said, what does that mean? I crawl up in my mother's womb? He goes, no. What's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the spirit is spirit. And he was teaching Nicodemus, Jesus is teaching you. You need to come by the Spirit of God. As the Spirit is drawing you tonight, as he's getting you close to, like you heard today, how there's chaos all around you, and the Spirit of God is protecting you and giving you peace in your chaos. God is giving you peace in your heart. I feel there's disruption in your heart. That you're disconnected from him. If you feel disconnected and distant, it's your time to get closer to him. To give him all your heart and all your life means that it's not halfway in, halfway out. The Bible says in the book of Romans that if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of your mouth. Then what does that mean, Pastor? It means that he doesn't want no halfway commitment. He wants a full commitment where you give you all of God. You make him all of the Lord of your life, not halfway. Jesus is calling you home tonight. He's asking you to commit all your heart, all your life, all your pain, all your struggle, all your loss to him. To give it to him. Say, Jesus, I give you everything. I give you everything. In my heart, I give it all to you, so I need you to save me. And the road to salvation is open to you. God did not deny anybody that came to him. As a matter of fact, there was a rich young ruler who said, Jesus, I did everything you asked me to do. And he said, yes, but you failed to do one thing. To sell everything that you own and that has your heart and follow me. And the Bible says his countenance fell and never did receive Christ. Don't let nothing get in the way tonight. Don't let nothing get in the way tonight. God is calling you home. So if you're here on campus, if you're online, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to clap my hands and I'm going to go one, two, three. three. And when I say three, I want you to raise your hand boldly. Just raise your hand. One, you're running from God. Instead of to God, I'm talking to you. Two, if you're not sure, be sure. Three, if you haven't committed all your heart and all your life, raise your hand now. Anyone here? Anyone here? Anybody here? Raise your hand. God's calling you home. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I know there's more than three of you here. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, here's what I'm going to do real quick. Because the Bible wants you fully committed, not to be ashamed of him. I want you, those that raised your hand, I want you to come up to the front and greet me right up here. I want you to boldly say, Jesus, I am believing and receiving you. I want you to get up off your seat and come. Everybody stand up together, and we're going to welcome our new family members to come to the front. Give them a hand as they walk. If you're here, come to the front. Come. Come.
Oh, come to the altar.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Father's arms are
anyone else? Right up here, right up here, right up here.
Was bought with
awesome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow, wow, praise God. Praise God. Come on, come on. You're not sure, be sure. Come on, tonight's your night. You don't want to leave this place without making sure. You're right with God. Come. Come, 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 come. Awesome. Look up here at me. You know what God calls you? And even though you don't feel it, beautiful people. Beautiful people. Why, Pastor? Because he calls out of ashes and chaos beauty. He calls out of brokenness something so amazing. And what's in front of me right now is that miracle happening right now. Right now. But Pastor, I'm so hurt. I get it. But God is so loving. He's going to rescue you from a hurt. He's going to calm your storm, and you're going to be his. But you have to repeat this prayer after me. Why, Pastor, repeat this prayer after you? Because I'm leading you in a prayer. The prayer doesn't save you. Faith saves you. But this declaration of faith is saying, God, I'm done with me. I'm ready for you. I'm ready to be born again. I'm done with chaos of life. I'm done with the madness of my mind and my will and my emotion. And I'm allowing you to come in and change me forever. And your boldness to stand in front of people and God and me is going to declare by faith that you saved. So repeat this after me. Say, Father God, today's the day that I believe and I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I repent from all that I've done wrong. Wash me and cleanse me and make me new. I am so sorry for all that I've done wrong to myself and everyone else. And I thank you, Lord. And I give you all of me. By faith, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Awesome, 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 awesome. So here's what I want to say here. We at The Rock, we give away friends, but more importantly, we believe in people just like you. Just like all of you. Pastor, you don't know my story. You don't know where I've been. It's okay. You don't have to know. I don't have to know, but God knows. And there's people that are assigned to help you, to be with you, to work a process of discipleship. This church actually cares about people. We don't just preach to you and bring you to the front. We hand you some special people, and they're around you. My friend Petey right here, this guy, He was one of the biggest drug dealers in San Bernardino. We're a bunch of exes here. Now this guy is a life giver when before he was a life ruiner. He ruined people's lives. And now he's transforming people's lives through the work of grace and truth and mercy. Petey and my friends want to give you some information, talk to you, and then let you back. Is that okay? What's your name? Seth? Zachary. Zachary, I have a word for you. Here's my word for you. Okay? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. From here on out, everything's new. Everything's new. Receive it. There is nothing you did that holds back God's love and God's grace. He's all over you, my friend. As a matter of fact, he's called you to do some great things. But you don't know it yet. That's why you need to be around the family of God to encourage you, like Petey and others, to believe and put faith in you. Thank God there's a discipleship process in this church to believe people just like you. Because our founding pastor, one of them was here this morning. She's there. Here's the prayer they said. Lord, send us everyone that no one wants. They showed up. We want you. And God wants you. And they need you, and God needs you. Zachary, you're his. Receive it, okay? Go with my friend Petey. He'll give you that information and let you back, okay? God bless you. God bless you. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Awesome. Right up here. Follow them. You know, one of my prayers in my walk journey this in the mornings are this, Lord, fill up Sunday nights. Fill up Sunday nights. Because I believe Sunday night is going to be like a whirlpool of supernatural signs and wonders. There's going to be things. It doesn't matter who's up here. It don't matter who's speaking. God is in the house and he's healing and he's restoring and saving and giving word and due season. All this. Sunday night's going to be a beautiful night. It's going to be packed. Actually, people are going to come and be delivered and set free and miracle signs and wonders. Matter of fact, we're going to post them on the billboard. That's just coming out. We're going to post those miracle signs and people are going to go, what? Not believe it, but believe it. God's doing it. He's doing it through us and through it through you. God bless you. God bless you. Let me speak a blessing over your life as we dismiss. Father God, I pray for everyone online, on campus, that showed up tonight on purpose, that heard your word to say, peace be still. Lord, calm the storms of our life. You're in the boat and you're resting, but you have the supernatural power to calm every storm and lift every anxiety from our lives. And you're doing it tonight. You're doing it at the rock. You're doing it intentional, and you're doing it on purpose. And I will not fret, and I will not bow down to fear. I will stand in faith and declare with God that me and my house will serve God. And we are a people of faith and not fear. And we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. a spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.